Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
We like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. As you can see, I am not Coach. I had the opportunity to text message with him last night. His daughter, Maggie, had a baby last night. They had to do an emergency C-section. She was 35 weeks, so I think that's vital, important. I think there's a little bit of surgery that is going to be need to done, whether it's today or tomorrow or something like that. So do keep Maggie and Clay, if you could tell me that baby's name pronunciation one more time. This way, if it's wrong, I can blame you. What is it again?
I don't blame it on my wife. She said it's pronounced Declan.
Declan. That's right, Clay, right? It's this woman you gave me, Lord, right here. I use my wife all the time for that. Amen. You know, and so, I just pray that the Lord, I told Coach, I pray that the Lord continue to polish that arrow, that it might strike its mark, that it'll be a mighty hand, a mighty tool in the hand of the Lord, as I know he will, because it's not just Coach, it's his lineage, it's his children. They love the Lord, they serve the Lord, and that's a beautiful thing. So, and then I went on to tell him, I said, Coach, I said, I honestly feel like it's a Rush Limbaugh show, but you're better. And, when those people would be turning in to hear one of these national syndicates and somebody else has taken over their show, most people change the channel. Like, we only have 87 people in here when there's normally 120 something people, because it's not Coach. And you know what, you're absolutely right, but I'm honored and blessed to take the steering wheel of the show today. I know that Coach just doesn't do that to anybody or for anybody. I've earned his respect, and it's not because of being with him on the show from the beginning. My days of birthing with my relationship with Coach and his wife, Michelle, began on the front lines, out in front of abortion clinics, in the foxholes, and doing battle for the Lord. So, which is, I'm going to be getting into some of the hurricane stuff that has happened down here. Sam just talked about an earthquake that hit, I guess, down by where he was at, 7.4. Sam, I was out in California there that the day that the World Series was going on, the earthquake hit, and it was a 7.4, and you feel like you got a 900-pound gorilla just grabs your hold. I thought just shakes everything. I thought our apartment complex was going to come to the ground. So that's a mighty, mighty big earthquake right there, and we're going to see these things. This is the scripture. We're living in the day. How exciting is this? We are living in these days. These are the days that the prophets spoke about. These are the days that Jesus Christ himself pointed to of his second coming. And he warned the people and he told the people, hey, it's coming. And people, I'm telling you, people got this mentality that they have time. They have time to make these preparations. I'm going to tell you, it says he is coming. He is coming, and it'll be like the twinkling of an eye. The speed of that is amazing. And how all that pans out is one thing, but the key thing is are you ready now? I believe it's in Luke chapter, and can't Google search it right now, but I believe it's in Luke where it says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? And I use this all the time, what is faith? And I say, sometimes we lose translation. You Google search, or you go to your Strong's Concordance and you do a search on the word faith being spoken there, and that word is pistis, and that word means a mighty conviction in a holy God, the profession of his holiness, and a continual walk in that holiness of God. And that's what it is. Are we going to continue to profess him? Are we going to continue to reverence the holiness of God in the times in which we're living? And so I want to start, if Spence, you can throw up 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I don't know, is Silver in here? Could he read that? Give us that radio voice that we can read this real quick. No? Well, how about somebody else? Spence, you see the hands? Give me somebody who will read 7:14. Actually read 7:12, 13, and 14.
I can do it.
Ah, there you are. You holding on me. Come on, Silver.
And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice.
Now stop. I'm going to be like Coach because I like doing this. I do this in my church also. What did it start with? It started with prayer. He pointed out, he said, I heard your prayer, Solomon. I heard your prayer. I want to tell you something. God is not praying to you. You should be praying unto God. And when we do that, this is the beginning of when God hears our prayer. Go ahead.
If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name.
Hold on 1 second, because we know we're going to get into that famous, put a parrot on it, and going to quote that. But when we look at this and we think that God cannot send calamity, who said in this prior verse, who said, if I were to shut up the heavens and cause it to be a famine, or if I were to send the locusts, who was that? Was that the devil, Silver? Is that the devil that said that?
Nope.
That's God. To think that God doesn't use calamities such like this to bring forth his glory and his purpose into the earth. And this is then, now we see, I believe in my heart, what we're seeing here, especially in America, we're seeing these things when it comes to floods and such, is we're seeing the hand of God. We're seeing the hand of God bringing forth judgment. Now, is it to smite the people and to kill him because he's just mad like a little boy with his toys, so he just smashes it on the ground? No. Go ahead, Silver. Now let's go ahead and read the rest of this.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, many times, anytime you want to chime in here and say amen, amen, go for it. Because there's the prerequisite. If my people, which are called by my name, this isn't for the world. This is for the church. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, then what becomes of the ungodly and the sinner? God is not calling for them. He's calling for his people, which are called by his name, to humble themselves, to prostrate. Let me tell you what, to not be in an arrogant spirit, but I'm telling you, humble yourself. This God, he's got fire in his eyes. His face shone like that of the sun. John said in the book of Revelation that it didn't kill him. Let me tell you what, it says he fell to the ground like a dead man. And it says, if my people, which humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and begin to heal their land. We're not going to get healing in the land. These things are not going to stop until the church has a repentance. And what is repentance? It is the godly sorrow that bringeth forth true repentance. In other words, driving down the highway, you get pulled over by Mr. Police Officer, and he tells you, I need your driver's license, registration, insurance, and you look at him and say, I'm sorry. No, you're only sorry because you got caught. Godly sorrow would tell you to go find the police officer and say, hey, I want to let you know I was speeding back there and I'm deserving of a ticket. Chances are that police officer won't give you a ticket because you have exposed the sin before the sin exposes you. And this is what the church needs to rise up and cry with sackcloth and ashes and truly fall to its knees and repent, because the church has adulterated herself with the pollution and the things of the world. And I want to tell you something. The one thing that I saw that I'm seeing now in this storm is the same thing that I saw in Katrina. It's the same thing that I saw in Harvey in Texas. And that is that God, if I were to go to their house, if I went to one of these people's houses where trees fell on and flooded, there was 8 feet of water in some of the homes and up in La Place. And if I'd went to their house the day before the storm hit and say, hey, I'm here to take all your stuff out of your house. I'm here to get rid of it all. Those people would either have shot me or they would have called the police to have me arrested. And they would have. But you know what? The day after that storm hit, I'm telling you what, my phone doesn't stop. I need help. I need help. What do you need help with? I need help getting all this stuff out of my house. I need my house gutted. It's full of mold. You know what that is? That to me, when I see that, it is like a visual, like what Katrina was. It's showing us what our sin is. It's filthy. It's nasty. It's dirty. And what we did in Texas is we went in and we gutted homes and we took out stuff into where we saw it all out in the streets to where there was nothing left. Get this. There was nothing left in their houses except for a clean concrete foundation. And I look at that and I said, now we can start building on this thing properly. And
amen.
And so one of the things, I'm going to open up just a second for a couple minutes before we get into some pictures and the needs and the stuff that we got going on here. One of the things that I've seen in the flood reliefs, and I got some right here. This is what goes on down here. Government help, right? You pull into the line, right? And they go, how many you got in your house? I say 10. I got 10, three dogs and two birds, and they go 10. And the next thing you know, they pop open the back of my truck and they throw these boxes, square boxes in there. They throw in a couple few bags of ice and they throw in, they don't even throw in cases of water. Now they throw in this, it's a box of water. It says good for 10 years. And this is what you get. Yummy. This is our government. This is your tax dollars hard at work. And that's what they do. And then they just point you to move on. That's the way the government is. But the way I do it is what we did in Houston or Port Arthur is we had a printing company begin to print Bibles. We distributed thousands of Bibles in seven different languages because that's what they need first. They need both, but you can't just give them all this fill and not give them the foundation in which to build upon. We need to be ready when we're doing these things is that if we're not going in the name of Jesus, if we're not going into these people's homes to gut their homes and to bring forth the gospel to establish that, then don't come. There's no other need for it, you know? Amen. So is there, I can't tell if there's any hands are raised.
Hey, amen, Dale. And Dale, I just want to let you know, we're going airborne. The eagle and the hawk are getting ready to fly. The falcon is with the family and the new grandson. So bring those prayers. We're coming in hot, Oklahoma. God bless you all. Love you, Dale.
Amen. Now, Ohio, you said coming in like an eagle and a hawk. You know what I say to that? If you come down to Louisiana, you better be ready to rest. Like an eagle and a hawk. Hey, you're still open, Ohio. Your mic's still on. Yeah, there you go. I said, if you're coming down to Louisiana right now, I was talking with I know Pennsylvania Brett, but I think Bobby Lee yesterday, and they said that they're getting ready to come down here. And I basically told them
that now, so that you may continue using your tablets throughout.
I said,
by faith, I'll see you soon. We're flying to Oklahoma. I just want to say I love you, Dale. Love all the team. God bless you.
Amen, brother. But if you're coming down here, you might be nesting like an eagle. You understand? Yeah. Eagles are beautiful creatures flying around, but at the end of the day, they go to this nest they built in a tree, and it doesn't have creature comforts. Right now, there is no creature comforts down here. If you come down here to help right now, and I've already told these guys that are coming down next week, I have no AC. I have no electricity. I have no hot water. I got running water. I don't have showers. You know, we got sinks. So I'm going to try to bring a generator to get a little AC in the church. We don't have a stove to cook on there because there's no electricity in my area where my church is at. There's not going to be electricity for at least another 4 weeks, which puts that almost 6 weeks with no electricity whatsoever. And it's not just me. It's the entire areas. And so it's going to be rough in it. It's going to be cowboy, you know, what it is. Now, if you got an air mattress, trust me, you're one up on the cowboy. Amen. So I just want to let you know that. So I'm asking right now that I'm asking for women not to come in right now. We will. This is going to be a long venture of what we got going down here. Those who worked in the storms down in Houston or came down for Katrina, you understand this. I'm going to put this number, and then Spencer, I want you to put, you're going to put that picture I told you. This is my son's house. We were talking before the show. I'll let people see the devastation. This pile right here. I was at my son's house yesterday. So this touches me. They're all living. This is who's living at my house. And so his roof, the whole front section of his roof ripped off. And I'm not talking about shingles. I'm talking about plywood. The whole thing is sitting in his backyard. And so he's at home. He was in this house when the storm hit. He's 5 miles from my house. So that's where it was. And he was catching water in ice chests and buckets and calling me up and say, Dad, I'm so tired. I'm like, so tired. I'm like, son, you need to keep and be strong. His wife was there and she's pregnant. And so it was a long, tiring night for him. And about 8 hours of the storm dumping rainwater, emptying buckets before it finally subsided enough for him to get away from his house. And now he's staying with us. But so we went over yesterday, and as you can see, gutting sheetrock, pulling insulation, ripping out the kitchen, and we still got more stuff down there. So this is the kind of stuff that whoever comes down here for the next, I know next week's coming down here, this is the kind of stuff we'll be doing, either this or, Spence, if you'll flip forward, I think we got that big tree that hit that house. Can we see that? That's not the one. That's kind of what it looks like, but yeah, there you go. Or doing stuff like this. We need chainsaws. I have a 24-inch bar and an 18-inch bar. So if somebody's coming down here, if you can grab a couple 18-inch or 24-inch Husqvarna chains, I need some. I can't find any down here. Food. Let me tell you, my wife went last night. We heard that one of the restaurants down here was open, Bobby Hebert's. And I said, great, you know what? Let's cater in some food for the family. Let's you know, try to have some normalcy because we like to take our family out to dinner. And she went there and they only had 4 things from the menu. My son can't eat seafood. So that was out. So we went from possibly eating Bobby Hebert's. I said, well, go to the store, buy some hamburger buns and I'll grill some burgers. So we went from Bobby Hebert's to burgers. And she got into the store. There was no bread on the shelves whatsoever. No buns whatsoever. I said, well, call up Domino's. See if the Domino's is open. Well, only for pickup. You go in there. You got 2 choices. You got cheese or pepperoni, and it's all thin crust. There's no hand-tossed dough. So that's what we had. We had pizza on a cracker last night. That's what that. You know what? We were grateful because not everybody has that down here. But the magnitude of this storm, the wind that went by my church was about 175 mile an hour gusts, and there is a line that the Entergy is down here. They're working it hard. They had about 2 miles of telephone poles, and I'm not talking toppled over. I'm talking snapped, crashing through people's roofs all over the place. You'll see some of this. And the land masses, like if you look at the state of Louisiana, if you go just east of Baton Rouge, you can bring that all the way to the Gulf Shores of Mississippi, and everybody was affected. There was the population of Louisiana is like 4.4 million people, and 1/4 of the entire state's population did not have power. So they were completely out of power. And some of these places, they're saying 8-10 weeks. So just let some of them pictures flip on through there, Spence. And I know, you know, and it grieves me when I hear people, well, they live down there by the Gulf Coast. Hey, let me tell you what, I've lived in California for the earthquakes. I lived in New York where we had the freezing snow and there you go. So this is the kind of stuff that's going to be starting at my church. This was up in Springfield, Louisiana. It wasn't even a hurricane. It was a rain event that dropped 24 inches in like 12 hours. And it flooded homes, flooded 60,000 homes. And we fed, I want to say, probably 15,000 people at that one spot, ministered to people in their cars, basically praying for them. I mean, police officers are coming over, breaking down. And you know what? Pass Assault Ministry was a huge part of this. This team come down. We had them come down a couple times, stayed at my house. I don't have that available right now because I got my whole family and grandkids and their animals staying with me right now. So I don't even have a place for people to come. Normally we were able to travel. So this is what is happening. And this was going on. So what do we need? We need boots on the ground. You know what else we need? We need money. Oh, geez. I never asked for money. I never asked for money in my church. And it's like, God, but you know what? To feed people, to put gas in cars, you know, the gas lines were insane. They're starting to get better down here. I put a meme up on Facebook. I said, you know, there was a time when Mary asked Jesus and Jesus prayed and he turned water into wine. I said, I wonder if he can turn water into gas. You know, I mean, because there was no gas. There was like one gas station and it'd take you 5.5 hours to get gas. And they were limiting you to 2 5-gallon cans of gas. And so that stuff is starting to get better. There are a few stores, but the supply chain, I was talking with Craig Mickle yesterday, and the food is just not on the shelves down here. And so in where my church is at, there's no feeding center. So we're going to actually set up right outside. Those who have been to my church for the Tony Spell event, you know, right outside front of my church sits right on Highway 90, Main Road. We're going to set up food stations right there. And then on the side of the building, I'm going to set up, I got like 20 something tables. We'll set up tables and canopies and chairs, and we'll put some Christian music out there. And we want the people to sit down. We want to break bread with them. We want to be able to pray with them because this is the heart of Jesus. This is part of the mercy ministry. We can be prophetic, and I am, trust me. I've been arrested 3 times for preaching the gospel at abortion clinics, so I understand. I have no problem with that. But then there is a time. There is a merciful time. So anybody have a question or a hand up right now before I go to a couple passages of scripture?
Myra does have her hand up.
Come on.
Good morning, Saints. How are you? Dale, hey, I volunteer from the get-go to go to New Orleans and help you. But I see you're not meeting women, and I understand that, and I respect that. But I did sign off. I was one of the team. I wanted to go. And I didn't give you a call because I knew you were very busy. Also, want to give praise and glory to the Father. My husband and I are celebrating today 37 years of marriage.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Congratulations.
any other hands up?
Larry.
Hey, yeah, hey. Larry's one of the guys that were down here for Springfield and he understands. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, do you need my propane kitchen down there? I can't spend a lot of time down there cuz I still have to be with my wife. But I can bring my kitchen down and leave it off, and no electricity required.
I like that. I didn't even think about that, Larry. We're going to have to talk. Give me a call later after you got my number. Let's talk.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, man, see, that's the stuff I need. That's like my mind is not even there. But sometimes these people can't get to my church, but we can drive your truck. I can keep it gassed up and drive it to one of the neighborhoods by the church. And man, we'll just pour out of that thing and feed them. Now, here's the thing. I'm very limited on the food because of donations and the food coming in. But let me tell you something, folks. This is a marathon. This is not one of your movies that you watch and a storm happens. And by the end of the movie, everything is back to normal. This isn't that. Do you know it took Katrina nearly 9 years to get any kind of completion over there? And guess what? On the very 16th anniversary of Katrina, August 29th, in comes Ida, and boom. Do you know that Ida, when it comes to electricity, Larry, if you took Katrina, Gustav, Isaac, and one of the other storms, and you added them all together, the telephone poles, it still would not compare to how many Ida knocked down this storm. So electricity is, you know, so then it's hard to keep food cold. What are we going to do there? So it's going to come. That's going to happen. I think the main need right now is to get some trees off from people's houses. It's raining. It's raining this morning. Imagine you went through the storm. You kind of salvaged your stuff. And guess what? Now the roofs are leaking again because it just started raining down here in Louisiana. So when it rains, it pours. You got anything more, Larry, to add? Hold on one second, Jack. Hold on, Jack. Yep. Let Larry finish his thought and then you're up.
Yeah, I can be down there in a matter of less than 24 hours after you say yes with the trailer and drop it off. Yep. I'll have full propane tanks. And then I think we can organize a bucket brigade of folks that live as close as they can to Louisiana, buy food, drive it down, drop it off, go back, et cetera. I think it can be handled.
I love it, Larry, and we're going to do that. I think what a blessing. What a blessing. I think that's great. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, what an awesome team has been developed here. I just wanted to throw a little levity into it. You asked if God, Christ, could turn water into gasoline. Well, he did that for us initially. We turned all that stuff into alcohol because that was the original fuel for all those vehicles. So, yep.
That's pretty good. That's good. Amen. Any other hands? I got a couple of scriptures that I do want to touch into.
Craig Mickle, come on in, sir.
Yeah, come on, Craig.
Hey, Dale. Hey, you know, we've been talking here, but just to kind of let the people in the queue know, I'm trying to make a substantial run to stock Dale up. And I'm going to try to do this hopefully early next week or middle of the week. I got a guy looking to try to get 500 pounds of hamburger. You know, Dale needs utensils. I'm trying to get him like 10,000 plates and everything. Stock him up for like 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And so that's going to require some funds. I'm sure Coach will throw some money in towards it. When I asked Dale, you know, if I bring you 500 pounds, can you store it? And he said, I can do 250. And the thing is we're going to have supply chain interruptions. Okay. And if you saw on the link there, we got a coronal mass ejection. We have really, that's what happened with the earthquake. And we got this coming September 10th. So I don't even know what the next week will happen with the earth events. But the point being is we need to get like large amounts into him and get him stocked up. He said he could only do a freezer for 250. Well, I'm going to go look at what it costs to get a big freezer, see if I can get that down there with the 500 pounds of meat, with all the utensils, with the things that he tells me he can need. And then I guess in reality, Dale, I guess I need, you know, how many people do you plan to feed a day, 100 or whatever, what that takes, and get you stocked up. So, one is covet your prayers. Two, I think if you could make a donation to Coach or to Dale, you know, I'm thinking this is $3,000 to $5,000 of stuff to get down to him. And then I'll get it down there. I'll figure that part out. I've got some connections with people that have some longer trailers and different things. I got some horse trailer myself. I can probably fit it all in. So that's what I'd like to do for Dale. This is going to be a Penny Express, like Larry said, a bucket brigade. This is going to be a Penny Express. And then how we get that down and you know, it's an 1100 mile trip for me. But maybe we can get somebody in between different as we get going with this. You know, if I can find like Clay or whoever, 400 miles, you know, get a trailer. Someone can tow the trailer to Dale and then we can get it back and forth. We'll figure that part out. But that's what I'm thinking.
Amen, Craig. And listen, I'm going to share a testimony in just a second here. I see, is that Coach wants to share the new baby picture? Can we do that?
Yes, sir.
Let's put that little, yoo-hoo, come on, woo, yeah. As arrows are in the hands of a warrior, so are children in one's youth, for they will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate, right? But the key of that verse, Psalms 127, is verse 1. Unless the Lord build the house, they that laboreth in vain. So the key thing about this, and I know it's the beauty of this, is that this little arrow right here is being raised and the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Because when they're not raised, they're still arrows, but then they become arrows in the hands of the enemy. But this is the arrow in the hands of the Lord. Blessed is that man whose quiver is full of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Is Coach even watching today, or is he just, is he in the background? He's watching. Coach, you better get in here and say, no, I don't want to get you in trouble with Michelle. I don't want to cause that. I mean, but if you want to come in, Coach, we'd love to have you.
Right now, beautiful picture. Michelle and Alan's hand raised.
Amen. Let's go ahead. Do it, Spence.
Michelle.
Hi, family. Dale, I'm a logistic person, so you calling people to help you is all good and well, but do you have a person that people can coordinate with? It's like, do you have an email address so everybody can just, I mean, it's all good and well, but if a million people bring a loaf of bread, that's not really good. So do you have someone that can be coordinated with so you don't have to take that burden on yourself?
Well, this, and Michelle, this is, Spence, my email address is when I sent you pictures. If you want to put that in the link, that's totally fine. Make connection. One thing that Coach knows about me, all the way from back to Katrina, this is, abortion ministry is one of my key prophetic ministries. And this emergency disaster relief is probably my greatest gifting and mercy ministry, because before I did construction, which I do, which really helps out when I get into these houses gutting, is I was a certified chef. So when we were in Springfield, cooking 300 meals a day, twice a day was not a problem. When we were in Texas, it was the same concept. Craig, you're asking that number, doing 300 meals for dinner is that's actually not bad at all for me. I was doing 500 meals sometimes for dinner. And once again, when I go back to Harvey in Texas, we were down in Port Arthur, and a grocery store said, no, you all sit right here in our parking lot, set up every day. And we did. And we put out tables, and we had cleaning supplies is a big thing that'll be in need. Toiletries, toilet paper, paper towels, gloves, those types of things are a big need. Don't need the clothes, because then people it just becomes a very big burden right now. But we would set up tables, and we would minister the gospel through all of this at the same time. It wasn't just about feeding their belly. It was about bringing forth the gospel. I want to read this, and it's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And Jesus, this is Jesus's disciples coming to him, and they came to him in verse 27. And it says, and at this point, his disciples came to them, and they were amazed that he was speaking to the woman. And the disciples said down in verse 32, verse 31, disciples urging him, Rabbi, eat. But he said unto them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And so the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him any food, did they? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who has sent me. That's the first part. And the second part was this, and to accomplish that work. So it's not just about setting out and doing something. It's about finishing the work, finishing the race. So when I was down in Harvey, I guess, because that was one of the last big storms we were doing this, I was bringing food from New Orleans to a 4-hour drive to Texas. I would make 3 runs a week. We had teams set up there. I did that for about 6 months. And then after that, we were purchasing sheetrock to install in people's houses. So it was probably nearly an 8-month project for me. So it wasn't just about going down there, get a photo op, feed a few people. Literally, it was making that journey day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out. This is going to be the same thing. So when I look at Myra and I'm like, look, Myra, there's going to be an opportunity when we get our electricity, when we get a little bit more creature comforts for the women, and I get a few people cleared out of my house that we can house some of the people too. that'll be a great need, because there'll be those opportunities. Right now, I'm just telling you, it's rough. Amen. So who is after that, Spence? I know you said Michelle, and then
Alan Zeifer, and then Coach is here too.
All right. Amen. All right, Coach, you gotta wait because Alan's ahead of you.
Hey, Brother Dale, listen, you got access to propane, brother.
Yeah. Actually, the coach, I'm telling you, man, here's the secret. Crawfish boiling pots are not just for crawfish. I boil spaghetti. I make, this weekend I'm doing Sloppy Joe sandwiches and steamed snap beans. So I cook everything out of these pots. These are big 120-quart pots, so we'll be cooking all kinds of food out of them. So I have 7 propane tanks, and they're all full.
So do you got access to go refill the tanks, what I'm saying? Because propane generator probably best way for you to go right now, wouldn't it, rather than gasoline?
Well, I mean, either way. I mean, I have a generator that I'm going to be bringing out to the church today. So when these guys come in, I'm sending today off to help them. Tomorrow I'm going to go help my son mow all of his lawns. I was at my son's house gutting. One of my elders in my church, I got 3 people in my church who got, like, you saw the pictures of my son's house. My elder in the church, Jay, you all met him if you came down here. His whole back roof of his house pulled away from his house. His roof ripped off, and he was in the house. He's 70 years old, and just – it flooded, just rained down into his house. He was trying to hold mattresses against the window to keep the wind out, and when the wall pulled away, that was it. He was done. So we have some grunt work to do. Another lady in my church, she's a single mom, Candy, who was also there feeding during the Tony Spell thing. Her every shingle on her roof literally ripped off, and water got into her sheetrock, so now she's got mold in there, and she needs it gutted. She's got vaulted ceilings in her living room. She can't do it. She can't reach it. And I can't be everywhere. So when this team comes down, I've already got 3 homes in my church that need to be gutted. But I do have access to exchange out propane tanks. I do. That's right now at Lowe's. It's a block and a half away from my house, so that's not a problem. As is getting them refilled. Normally those are at your Ace Hardware stores, and I don't know if they're filling any.
The only reason why I'm asking that, Dale, because like my propane company by my house, their whole facility runs on propane if the power goes out, so they can refill no matter what. That's why I was asking you. And right. What's the best way to get the money? Get it to Craig? Get it to you? What's going to be the best way? Because we're on the road. I don't have any way of coming down there or nothing, but I can send some money. If somebody wants to purchase a propane generator, whatever we need to do, I just need to know where to send the funds at.
Yeah, I don't think I need a propane generator. I mean, I don't say I don't think. I have a pretty big generator that I'm bringing out to the church. It's like a 9,000 watt. And now I can't run the ACs because, you know, I got 13 tons of AC there. But I can get all the lights on, and I can bring a little unit in there, one of them interior units, just to get the room cleared out. Call me after the show or text me. I know sometimes I don't, but if you text me, if you have my number and you text me, I'm a low-tech man in a high-tech world, but boy, I tell you what, I had to get on board this week. I've actually set up a PayPal account. I've set up a Venmo account. I think the Venmo goes directly into my church, so I couldn't set up both. I don't know. I'm just telling you, yes, I can send you up the QRC codes, and you can do it that way. You can send it to – I know Coach is going to help too. It doesn't – and Coach knows me, man. When it comes in, it goes right back out. I feel awkward because I never asked for money. So, I know God will provide, and I appreciate, because I got 1 or 2 people in here, a few people that have donated monies, and I went and bought a big chainsaw. So I went and bought some supplies. So the money's already being spent. So there is access that you can text me on my phone number, 504-881-9956. And I can send you a QRC code that you can do. Now, let's go ahead and have the coach come in. Come on, Coach.
I don't know if I've ever done this before.
You're on the other end of it, Coach.
Yeah, I just I'm just overwhelmed this morning, and just want to say what a wonderful team we're putting together out there. It's been amazing. I just committed Craig. We're sending $5,000 to Craig, which will indirectly help you, Dale. And of course, we'll be sending more. So if guys want to send money to us, I'm going to send a check to Craig and get him moving on what he's doing there to get it down there. Folks, this is just a dry run for what's coming. And it may not be a hurricane. It could be devastation. It could be power out. It could be all this is going to be. This is what's ahead of us. And it's time for all of us to take a good inventory of where we are and what we possess, what really matters to us. And, you know, I was so overwhelmed when my little grandson popped into the world last night, because you guys know what a burden that's been on my wife and my daughter. Mm. You know, they told him early that possibility he was going to be Down syndrome and all these terrible things. And it's just been nothing but fear and fear and fear. And then last night when that little guy popped out, we weren't there. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Just the goodness of God is so overwhelming. And it's just an honor to be able to just be part of this group. We really, really are boots on the ground, down and dirty, get it done kind of people.
Amen.
And I just appreciate every one of you. I want you to know that I'm pretty much back on my feet. I still got a little bit of a cough, but I'm over the hump on that. I had to go home. I couldn't go to Oklahoma. I had to come home, be with my wife. She's been under such stress. And all our granddaughters are here this morning. And there's a little bit of life here in this house. It's been so dead around here for about 3 weeks, emotionally, spiritually dead. And there's life back in us. So God bless you all. And it's all moving in the right direction. We're over the target. And hey, listen, man, we're being prepared. We can't expect it to be easy. I always used to tell our football guys when we had them out running, I said, nobody said this is going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, boys. It's not going to be easy. Suck it up, Buttercup. Love you all, Dale. All of you. Dale, thanks for covering. And if you want to send some money to us, we'll get it to Dale.
Hey, Coach, you know what? Let me tell you what. You know me. I don't have to spit shine anybody's boots. I don't have to stroke anybody's ego. We go back a long way. You know, I want to tell you, brother, I'm not stroking your ego. You're a great man. You're a great general. You remember how we used to call Flip Benham general?
Yeah.
That's what you are. That's what you are. And let me tell you what, you know what I love about a real good football team is they never just send one captain out on the center field to flip that coin. When you start to see 3, 4, 5 captains come out on the field, let me tell you what, that coach has done its job. You got some good captains.
Oh, we got some leaders, man.
Man, that's what they are.
You know, I want you guys to think about this, Dale. I can't go to because I couldn't go to Oklahoma. You know, I'm supposed to be out there for that event. Guess who's out there? Randy Lunsford's out there. Kevin Van Story's out there. Paul Webb's out there. I mean, Chad Estes is out there. Those guys are going to represent us. Can you believe that? So this is just it's been my dream for what it is that the church body would look like, that I can't be there, but I have these generals on the ground waiting in place. If we can just get a picture and see what it is the Lord wants to do. Folks, he don't want to lose. He's not glorified through our losses. He wants us to rise up and stand up and push back and fight back and conquer, claim land, advance his kingdom. Where do we get this poor man mentality, the woe's me, we're all going under. We ain't going under, we're going over. And I just so honored to be a part of this group, man. Bless you guys.
Amen. Look, Coach, the Lord saw an able man willing a vessel that he can be worked, his glory be worked through, and you were that man. You don't try to hold on to the ministry. You are always trying to raise people up and say, all right, go get her done. Get her done. And that's kind of what will happen down here. And you know me. You know it will happen with me. It's like, trust me, he'll get it done. But all I do is the same thing that you'll do in this is I'm going to delegate people to, you know, I can't be in 5 different places at 5 different times. But what I can do is I can say, all right, you 3 go here. You 2 go over here. This is what I need you to do. This is what you do. And this is what you raise up leaders in your church to do.
And for me, it would not be a problem because of the men and the women in my church. They're there to serve. You all saw that, who came down for Tony Spell. The problem is that it was them that are now needing help. It's these people who you have met in my church. They're the ones. It's kind of hard because normally I go to the place to help. Now it's, we need the help right there. And I'm only God spared that building when the eastern eye of that storm literally passed over that building. I looked at my wife and said, that building's gone. I said, there ain't no way that building's still there. And to go down that highway with that cross, if you've seen on my church, we built that. That's plated metal, welded with a plate on the bottom, bolted down with 3/4-inch bolts to the main beam of that. Let me tell you what, when I came down the highway and I saw that cross on top, I knew it was all going to be good. And to pull up to that building, then that building is going to be a epicenter point for us to do a lot of work out of. So there's going to be plenty of opportunity for us to do that. And Coach is just, you know, he knitted our hearts together. He, you know, bringing different giftings to the table, and, you know, Craig doing this and those guys going down to Oklahoma. I'm going to tell you something. It is a great team. I've been around a lot of good teams where leaders try to hold on to everything. And man, that's not what you do. You release it and allow these people to flourish in their gifts, go out into the field and reap the harvest. Amen. So I appreciate you, Coach, and you get better, man.
I will. I love you, man. Just one final thing. They named a little boy Declan, D-E-C-L-A-N, which means full of goodness.
Amen.
Amen.
Spence, we got more hands, but I want to pray for Coach real quick. Father, I lift up Coach T right now, and I pray, God, that as you said unto Joshua, may his strength be even greater in his latter days than even his younger days, Lord, in the time in which we're at, Father, to strengthen him to not be able to just walk, but to be able to run with the chariots as they have come. Lord, I pray the blessing over his home, Lord, over Declan, Father God, and for Maggie and her husband. Lord, may your anointing just touch them. May the joy of the Lord and the cup be overflowed this day in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Naomi.
Okay, so congratulations, Coach, on the new baby. He's beautiful. I would like to offer to Dale, I have a community service project that I do in my area. It's called Books to the Rescue, and I don't know if people can see this or not. But would I, oh, because I took off, I forgot to remove the camera. There we go. Anyway, I do this for police officers and such in my area. And through community support, I'm able to give little plushy things that help with the children. Because a lot of times the stuff that's being collected is for the adults, but the children are terrified. And I lived in Biloxi, Mississippi for 5 years. So, and I went through some of those hurricanes. So, you know, I understand. So what I do is I do comfort gift drives using this. And I'm doing one for the orphans that are coming over from Afghanistan. I've done it for the local organizations, the police department and stuff like that in my area. I put a link in the chat. If you decide that you want to, it's a GoFundMe link. And if you decide that you want to help out with this project for Dale, then make sure that you put in there in the notes that it's for Louisiana, because the other one is going for the Afghani refugee children. So that's what I want to offer.
Hey, no, Naomi, you're stirring up memories. I remember in Springfield, and it was centered about food and helps. But when we saw them little children in the back seat of the car, and you give them a little stuffed animal, boy, they would cling to it. We don't have that mindset for these children. And sometimes we overlook it, and you just, man, it brought back memories because I saw them children, and you know, their lives are affected,
and right,
stuffed animals and their toys. And when we had stuffed animals for the children, and we let them come out and pick whichever one they wanted. And when they got a hold of that, man, it was like breathing life into them. So thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and you know, I used to live in the Savannah, and I know that people can't see this one real well. This is a what if monster, but I would give these out to the children whose parents were being deployed. And it was just, you know, it really brought comfort to them. I've also got available, what I'll be doing is workbooks that the older children can walk through and help them process what they have gone through. And therapists enjoy those like crazy because they just help the kids to visualize and walk through it.
Yeah, they when you get them to that certain age, they just want to go home. They don't think what we're seeing and what they're feeling. But those are the things that literally would hold their lives together. Listen, I guess 9 minutes. Thank you so much for putting that in, Spencer, because I can't see the time. Jeff Nairs, come on in real quick, and then we'll get back up to Craig and Larry.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry about the background noise. I'm driving, but I just wanted to shamelessly plug a friend of mine. His name's Stephen Smallwood. It's a wonderful Christian family-owned business for those of you that actually might want to help and get into a career or a side hustle, and it's called adjustingonline.com, and it's insurance adjusting. It's a Christian family, and their thing is not like a lot of adjusters where they're just going out and hustling money, but they're preaching the gospel. They're helping people put their lives back together. They are the first ones that can help these people get their lives together financially, usually, besides what you're doing, and get those claims in quickly. And so it's a passion and it's a ministry for him. It's the number one school that's online, and you can get certified in different areas and degrees. But it's a wonderful company. If anybody out there is interested, it's adjustingonline.com and adjusting online on Facebook as well. Just wanted to plug that real quick.
Hey, Jeff. You know what I did when Katrina hit? I was right here. You know the first thing I did? I was like, what can I do to help these people? That's what I did. I was called a mud dog. I was the one that went in and measured out the houses and did the serial numbers on their appliances to get them their money to give them help, because that's part of the deal. My son, even I mean, I had roof damage, fence blown over, yada, yada. My son, you know, getting the insurance guy, get a hold of the insurance guy. You know, it's like 5, 6, 7 days now, and they're not being able to talk to them. And they're, you know, thank God that my family, you know, that's the first thing we went for, my family living with me, to be able to help them. Where would they be? There's no hotels here. There is no hotels. You're not going to rent anything. So they couldn't go anywhere. Where would they be? You know, where could they stay? Would stay in their moldy houses, I guess. So that is a great network, and that's exactly what I did. That, listen, let me tell you what, it was so awesome. Folks, you know what? You know the Jehovah's Witness, they go knocking door to door, door to door, door to door, and most people get the door shut in their face. When you show up their door as the insurance adjuster, or like with Naomi bringing stuffed animals for the children, man, they welcome you in your house. Now, let me tell you what, 99% of the people want you to come into their house. They want you to pray with them. Let me tell you what, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Craig Mickle, come on back in.
I just want to share something that we did. And, you know, if the Lord leads you, you know, I got that information from Dale. He's got a Venmo account, PayPal account. You know, I'm not a Facebook person, but my wife sure is. And, you know, we've lived here for 30 years. We know a lot of people in the community. And once we put out the need that what we were doing for Dale, and we had pictures from what Dale did before, and I said, hey, look, I know somebody personally affected by this, pastor, And then I tell him the story. Oh, yeah, by the way, they were only like 25 miles away from a hurricane. And guess what? His church was standing for a reason. It's here to serve the Lord, and he needs our support. And we need food, and we need this and this and this and money and all that. And you wouldn't be surprised how many bing, 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 bings as soon as we started doing that. I know people in the business community here. I've worked for a gentleman auctioneer. I know he's a millionaire. Not that he's going to give $1 million, but I'm sure he'd give 500 or 1,000. Maybe he'll cover the freezer for us. Point is we can be the fundraisers for Dale's church. Amen. We all know hundreds of people, you know, so let's do that. Let's feed it. We'll figure that part out. But, you know, people want to help. The people that we know, when we tell them, they want to help. So we got some resources in that area.
Watch his testimony. Let me tell you what, sometimes it comes in little tiny glimpses just to know that God is listening. So we finally got through to our insurance adjuster. I mean, you're talking to the height of the storm. My insurance adjuster's company was right in the midst of where the eye came across. So there was nothing. So we finally get across this lady out of Michigan, I think the office was. And so, you know, very cordial, very nice, very grateful that her family was okay. And she was asking what was our damage and everything. And we're explaining everything. So she gets to the end of it. Now you understand. There's no electricity. There's no stores. There's nothing, right, in my area. And she gets to the end. She goes, is there anything else that we can do for you? And I heard her tell my wife that because my wife was talking with her. And I was just being funny, just light in the moment. I said, pizza would be nice. Can you get us some pizza? And she laughed. I laughed. My wife laughed. Everybody laughed. You ready for this? One hour later, my neighbor comes. He knocks on the door. And he's got three pizzas from Pizza Hut in his hand. He said, man, he goes, I was on the West Bank and I'm giving him electricity. I'm keeping his house electrified, my house and two houses down. And he goes, I saw pizza. And I said, oh my goodness. He goes, I'm going to get some from my neighbor. But it was the fact that God, I mean, just stuff like that. So here's another one. So we had a team come in from Jacksonville. Somebody connected them to us and they brought in some water. They brought in some toiletry supplies. And they brought in gas cans, empty gas cans. They said, look, do you want us to fill them? And I said, if you get them filled before you come in, she's driving. They're pulling a 12-foot trailer with a minivan. I went, no, don't do that. You'll rip the whole rear end out of your minivan. I said, bring the gas cans. We'll figure it out later. We'll get them gassed. So she's bringing these 20 gas cans. I'm telling you, this is God. My son calls me up when I hang up with her. So she's got my address and she's coming to our church, right, to drop off the supply she has. And she goes, my son calls me up, Dad, I want to let you know one of my friends is coming in from Texas. He's got 100 gallons of gas, but he doesn't have any gas cans. I'm telling you. So this lady's dropping off 25 gallon gas cans, which equals, if I do the math correct, 100 gallons. This guy's coming in from Texas, one from Florida, one from Texas, and he goes, I got 100 gallons of gas. She pulls up to my church. They're unloading supplies. He pulls up. We didn't tell him to come at the same time. They just did. And he pulls up with 100 gallons of gas and starts filling up our gas cans. Don't tell me God's not in this. God's into this. Amen. Larry Richardson, got 2 minutes. Come on, brother, real quick.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say that this disaster stuff is the reason the Lord had me build that trailer. So I wouldn't plan on bringing it down. And we can coordinate, you know, propane and all that thing as we can. But I'm going to have to cancel Sky High in October because I see that trailer sitting down there for a while and then going back down, picking it up, turning around, refurbishing it, cleaning it, you know, all that. So I'm going to cancel Sky High. Because I'm going to use the trailer for what it was built for.
Well, amen. Let Lord lead your heart on that, brother. That's what I am. I'm very grateful that Coach allowed me to come in here, do the show. I'm grateful for y'all. You guys are boots on the ground. And I don't even have to go to 1 John 3:17 saying, if your brother's in need, take care of you guys are it. Tag, you're it. You are the team. And so I very much appreciate you all. Is Sam in here that he can close us in prayer? He's going to be doing the show tomorrow, I do believe. Sam, are you still here?
Yes, yes, yes.
Go ahead and
Father, we ask you pour out your spirit on the disaster zones in the name of Jesus. We ask you for grace and supplication. Lord, we ask you to start revival in those places in the name of Jesus. This is what we need. This is what Revelation is for. And as men's unrepentant hearts, Lord, have these experiences, we just ask that they will come to the place to acknowledge you, to give glory to you, to fear you, Lord God, and to repent for their witchcrafts, for their sorceries, for the wickedness that we've allowed to come into our nation. And Father, that is where 2 Chronicles 7:14 will become active, that you will hear our prayer from heaven. And God, if it be possible at this late hour, that you would heal our land. Father, I just command that no one will step on a nail from our teams in the name of Jesus, that you would just cover the soles of their feet with the blood of Jesus, that you'd help them in these danger zones. Father, we go and we depend on you. We cover all every tire with the blood of Jesus. We just ask, Lord, that you would pave the way before these teams. And Lord, that Dale's outfit would be a city on a hill, and that you would draw all men, Lord, to the feet of the cross. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and honor.
Thank you, Spence. Thank you, Spence.
And we're clear.